Would you take your Bibles, please, tonight? And we're going to look at Psalm 71 this evening. I don't know if you remember, about a year and a half ago, I mentioned this acrostic here of Acts. And I want to take a little bit of time to review that again, because I think it's good for us as believers to understand how easy it is to slip into this vain repetition mode when it comes to our prayer. It's very easy. We start using cliches over and over and over again. And we don't think while we're praying. And we don't realize we're going into the presence of God Almighty. And we have our mediator, Jesus Christ, who we are praying through to the Father. And there needs to be these elements within our praying that touch on what God has told us to do. And this acrostic, which is not original with me, is a good way to remember how you should pray. And by the way, don't make this into a vain repetition. Oh, wait, I've got to do adoration first. Acts 8. It's just an easy way to remember the things that you need to do. Now, let me just touch on these quickly. We're going to take up the first one tonight, adoration. But we have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And by the way, in Philippians chapter 4, we have three of those mentioned in this Acts acrostic here. But I want to start with the first one here, and this is a passage that is so rich. Psalm 71 is one of those psalms that emphasizes the fact that the Lord is the rock and the fortress of David. And he concludes this particular psalm by rejoicing, by adoring the Lord. Do you adore things? I know people that absolutely adore their dogs. They will do everything in the world. I was talking to a neighbor down the street that said that they had a dog that was in bad health, and they were considering having a $4,000 surgery done on the dog. And I said, I would never, ever spend that on a dog. He said, well, you don't understand. He's family. And we just simply don't. We cannot imagine life without him. And I said, so you haven't prepared yourself for his passing? You do know that dogs don't live as long as humans. And so forth. He said, well, we'll have to cross that bridge whenever it happens. Now, they absolutely adore their pet dog. He's like a member of the family. I get it. At the same time, there comes a point that you realize this animal doesn't have a soul. And so I don't want this animal to suffer, all right? And so there comes a point you said, well, we need to put the animal down. Now, it's getting harder in our society to do that. And you know why? Because now vets put up all the, they want you to do all these extra things and try to extend their life and so forth like that, and pay thousands of dollars to keep an animal alive that can't walk, or they have a cancer or something like that. And their adoration overviews common sense. But you know what our problem is as believers? We don't adore our Lord like we do the things of this world. We cannot imagine living without certain things around us. I was reading the story about a family who died on their way from St. Louis, making their way across the New Mexico desert, trying to make it to California. They never made it. Every one of them were killed except for one boy. One boy survived, and he was captured by the Indians, and he was young. They kept him as one of them. They trained him as a youth. Finally, he was able to get away years later, had forgotten how to speak English. And he was ostracized by all the people, thinking that he was no longer white. And they wrote a book about all of his experiences and stuff later in life about how he had no home. He had no home among the Indians anymore, and he had no home among the whites. A very, very sad story about this young man. But It talked about how they left everything behind. They sold their house in St. Louis. They left everything. The father had told them, you can't take all this, that, and the other. We only have one little wagon. Everything's going to have to stay behind. Furniture, all the things that were treasured, it was going to be bare bones travel. And what they put in their place was food to be able to make the trip. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle for the wife especially, because she wanted herself surrounded by all the things that made her home, and she couldn't bring them. And then to die, being killed by Indians. They were entrapped by the Indians. The Indians steered them down a wrong pathway and then were waiting for them and killed them all and stole all of their food and things of that nature. And all I could think about was I was reading that story and only one survivor, and how that boy had to live among the Indians until he was nearly 20, whenever he was able to escape, and wanted to try to find his parents. He didn't know what had happened to them. He figured that they were dead, but he didn't know for sure. And he was trying to find his parents, and that didn't happen. And he remembered the aspect of St. Louis, and so he made his way all the way back to St. Louis, and nobody wanted him. Nobody would have anything to do with him, because he had lived among the heathen. All right. Now, can we break with things on this earth that we adore and focus our adoration on a person that you can't see? But a person who is real nonetheless? That's the hard thing for us. The struggle that we have. I want you to read these verses, and I want you to see that David, the psalmist, had come to the place in his life where he absolutely adored God the Father. Notice this, please. Verse 22. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. In the Hebrew, that word could be translated murmur. Even when I'm talking to myself. Do you talk to yourself? I pulled up at a stoplight not too long ago, and I don't know if the woman was singing, but she was talking away. And I'm sure it was one of those Bluetooth things. And she was just talking away, and she was so animated and so forth like that. And the light turned green, and I took off, and she was still there. You could just see her hand. She was just going at it, you know. And somebody was on the other end evidently getting it, all right? But then there's people that are talking to themselves, all right? I do that from time to time. I'll get in a conversation with myself. Say, you knucklehead, why did you do that? Or something of that nature, you know. And he uses that idea, that word murmur. Now, that is talk. But murmuring means to mumble quietly. Even as I mumble quietly, my tongue will mumble of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Though I'm being pursued by my enemies, though there are people that are trying to take me down, I will continue to murmur praise unto you, Lord, because I adore you. You mean everything. You're my secret partner, if you want to call that. You're always with me. You wake up in the middle of the night. Is God awake? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can talk to Him. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, we're told in the Scriptures. That's a human way of putting it. Because God is God. He doesn't sleep. But He's always there. And David here in this passage of Scripture puts forth the concept of adoration. To adore someone means to count them as precious. To count them as precious. And notice it's a person, not a thing, that he adores. A person. When we pray to God, Do we express our adoration for Him by telling Him how much we love Him? By telling Him how wonderful He is? And the fact that He watched over and protected us in the middle of the night while we were sleeping and had no conscious understanding of what might be going around? You know, it's an amazing thing when you wake up in the morning and you hear the news of something that happened overnight. And wow, that happened overnight. That was bad. The news of Lindsey Graham passing away happened overnight. And you get these tidbits. There were things going on that didn't happen to me. Do you give glory to God? Do you praise Him for sustaining you? Giving you a good night's sleep? When you get up in the morning and your feet hit the ground and you're trying to get awake and your legs are a little unsure, especially as you get older, feet are a little bit unsure, and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for a good night's sleep. And then when you get in the bed at night, thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day. Boy, you were so good today. Just to stop and adore Him. Adore Him. Let's turn over to Psalm 95, because this is the second thought. In relationship to this, singing praises to the Lord is the caption that we find in many of our Bibles. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, small g. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. You hear the voice of the Lord speaking through His Word? What do you find here, as the psalmist writes? You find a tenderness here, recognizing the greatness, adoring the greatness of God. When you look around and you see all the things that He's made, you know, it is an amazing thing to take a walk in the woods or walk along a creek or a river or something of that nature. Today, my wife and Preston went down to the Blackwater River, and it's out of its banks. And they were down there looking at it, going by there. It's just an amazing thing to witness. And you see God's creation. Don't be enamored with the creation. Be enamored with the Creator. Can we do that? When you look up into the heavens and you see the stars at night and all the galaxies and constellations that scatter across the sky, don't be enamored with the stars. Be enamored with the One who put them there. This is the one aspect that you must have in mind when you adore your God. He made all things. He gave you breath. And we need to understand and know that my focus in prayer should begin here. Of adoring God. Oh, Lord, I've got this big problem right now. I just got to have the... And we just go into that. And we never stop to adore Him. Lord, before I go into Your presence with my concern, I just need to stop and realize that You're the only one that can help me with my concern. That's expressing adoration. Lord, I have no one else to go to. Because You're great and You're mighty and You're glorious. And You are beyond everything that's human and everything that's been created. So I'm going to the One that's on top. The One who is supreme. And we need to recognize that when we go to prayer. We need to acknowledge it. We need to express it. Are you following me? And when we don't express it, our prayers become very self-centered. It's all about me and my problems, and I want them solved. But that's not what prayer is all about. There is that beginning, that starting point. Wouldn't it be nice if you were running a race and you could start 5 feet before the finish line? That'd be a great race, wouldn't it? Everybody else is over here at the starting line and you're over there getting ready and it's 3 feet away. I won! Woohoo! And everybody said, "You cheater!" That's not how it works, is it? And that's how we approach prayer many times. We just jump in with both feet and start blabbering all of our concerns and our problems and troubles, which is fine if you understand who you're going to and how great and how matchless and how wonderful He is. We need to tell Him that. We need to express that in word. And sometimes it's hard when we pray in public. And the reason it's hard is because sometimes we're just embarrassed to pray in public, get nervous, and you don't really know what you did. All of a sudden get nervous and you can't remember what you're supposed to be praying for and whatever. You know what you do at that minute? You just talk about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. It's okay in prayer time to just talk about how wonderful it is. Lord, You are so good. Your sustaining grace is with us 24/7. And it's sufficient. And just start talking to the wonderful God and telling Him how wonderful and great it is. That aspect of prayer is the most ignored aspect. And I'm thankful that it's the first word that we go to when we think about this. My lips will shout for joy, we learned in Psalm 71, when I sing praise to You. Have you ever had your lips shout for joy when you go into the presence of the Lord? Here's another opportunity to tell Him how much I love Him. All right? Another opportunity. We read about the prayer that Jesus Christ gave to His disciples. How does it begin? Our Father. Our. It's a recognition that we belong to somebody. Do I hear an amen? We belong to somebody. He's the Father. When you belong to somebody, you hallow their name. And that's the next thing. That's adoration. Hallowed be Thy name. Whenever I come into Your presence, Lord, never let me utter vain repetition to You. When I was in India, the most astounding thing that I saw is I went through four different states in southern part of India, and you would see prayer wheels everywhere. That's how the Hindus pray. They come up there and they will stick on a prayer, 3M stickers. That was an amazing thing. They've gone modern. It used to be that they would put gum on it, stick it on there, and they'd spin the wheel. And you see them go along there, spin. Go along there, put another one, spin. Go along, another spin. And then they would just keep on going to their job. And as long as they believed, as long as that circle was going around, their prayer was being repeated. Is that the kind of God that we want? That's the one they've got. And it's a false God. All it's doing is spinning and making no difference. Making no difference. And yet, how many times do we vainly repeat things that we've memorized instead of adoring Him? I want to encourage you tonight. Let's begin our prayers by just simply adoring Him, thanking Him for how wonderful He is and how glorious He is and how great that He is. If He's precious to you, then it shouldn't be an issue. And that's what we find in Psalm 71, 22 through 24. This overriding adoration of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who's able when you don't have words. Sometimes you're just so overwhelmed with grief, you can't hardly pray, but then the Holy Spirit steps in and utters things that we cannot hear, but He's able to communicate for us. I'm so thankful for that. Father, how wonderful You are. You're beyond description. We cannot even put the words together to contemplate how great and glorious and gracious and good You are to us each and every day. And that graciousness extends for all eternity. There will never be an end to Your goodness. There will never be an end to Your majesty and Your greatness. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get overwhelmed with that, so that when we enter into prayer, it's not just a rote thing that we go through. It's not just a bunch of cliche phrases that we've said so many times that really have little meaning to us. We're entering into your presence through the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It should be a meaningful conversation. And I pray that you'd help us in this regard. Strengthen us in our prayer life, for I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.